The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Folks, welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show. Back again, eh? Glutton for punishment, eh? When will you ever learn? Now, here's the host that you hate to love, the man who was the reason your friend sponsored your last intervention, Eric Metaxas!
Folks, welcome to Hour 2. I continue my conversation with our friend John Zmirek. So, John, you describe in your article at thestream.org how it's possible for someone who once upon a time was a conservative hero, worked for the Alliance Defending Freedom, which we're talking about on this program. He seems to have gone over to the dark side a little bit, a little bit, a little bit, and then more and more until he, David French, has now endorsed Joe Biden for president. If anybody wants to know where Russell Moore and David French and those on what is the evangelical left, what's behind them, all you need to know is that it is now out in the open and David French has officially endorsed Joseph Biden against Donald Trump in the fall. So go ahead.
Right. So I traced how did the Vichy French, who were fanatical French patriots who fought the Germans, they hated the Germans, how did they end up becoming the puppets of the Germans? And the thing is, they wanted power. They wanted power, and the Germans offered them the chance to gain power. And so they were willing to sell out their most fundamental beliefs in order to gain power. Likewise, the neocon, never Trump Republicans, they want social respectability. They want to be invited to the cool parties in Park Slope, Brooklyn. They want their books featured in the Washington Post. They want to have shows on NPR. They want to be upper-class Episcopalians at all costs. They want to arrive. They want to be in America's elites. That's what they care about. And once it became clear Trump and his supporters were taking over the Republican Party, they were going to have to play second fiddle. They were going to have to defer to the actual voters who go to NASCAR rallies and listen to country music and have guns. They were so outraged that they were losing control of the Republican Party, that they decided to throw in with the Democrats, who will get them on NPR, who will review their books in the Washington Post. David French would never have had a regular column in the New York Times. He would not have gotten published in the Atlantic in 2014 and 2015. He was out in the wilderness writing at National Review. But once the establishment right, the swamp right, once they decided that Donald Trump was literally Hitler and that his voters were literally dangerous extremists, they could throw in with the Democrats. And all of a sudden, they get all sorts of goodies. Now, David French helped make this Carl Reiner movie, which portrays conservative Christians as essentially Nazis. Russell Moore and David French are involved in creating this defeatist curriculum for Christians to be used in churches called After Pardon. It is designed to tell Christians you shouldn't try to protect unborn children or protect traditional marriage or protect kids from trans. You shouldn't do that because that's Christian nationalism. Who funded that? The people who funded that were among the largest donors to Planned Parenthood. So Planned Parenthood blood money is now flowing into the pockets of these people, and they're getting pats on the head. They're getting columns in the New York Times, columns in the Atlantic. They're getting their little gold stars just the way the Vichy French were getting iron crosses from the Nazis for hunting their fellow Frenchmen.
John, this stuff is so unbelievable because you could have predicted this, but it's almost like you can't believe it would really happen, that people would, I mean, and again, this is kind of the way it works, right? They're so triggered by Donald Trump. I mean, we can have all kinds of legitimate criticisms of Donald Trump, but at some point, some people just get unhinged. And
they don't hate anything. Trump. They don't hate Trump. They hate you. They hate his voters. They hate the people who he represents. They hated Pat Buchanan for the same reason and in the same way. Pat Buchanan had none of the weird personal stuff of Donald Trump. They hated him even more. They hate the voters. They hate Americans. They want to replace Americans with docile immigrants who will come in and mow their lawns and be the nannies to their entitled kids and prune the bushes into topiary in their gated communities. They don't believe in democracy. They don't believe in equality. They are like French aristocrats in 1789 dressing up as shepherds. And they are on the verge of unleashing a whirlwind. Because if Joe Biden gets reelected, or if they manage to steal it for him again, the last vestiges of freedom in America are going to be quashed. They have shown us that. FBI agents battering down the doors of pro-life demonstrators.
Okay, we just have a few minutes left, John. I just want to say, so the headline, folks, and listen, a lot of times I'll ask people, prominent Christians, do you know who David French is? Do you know who Russell Moore is? They've never heard of them. So that's the good news. These are these elitist figures, and we often give them too much power. But if your evangelical church has adopted the Bible study called the after party, run from that church. Make sure you understand this is evil stuff. This is stuff pushed forward by David French and Russell Moore to silence the voice of the church in America, which is precisely the opposite of what I'm trying to do with my book and the film Letter to the American Church. So just so you understand those headlines. Now, John, we've got to touch on this before you go. I guess it was yesterday. This is another example. It's so dramatic. You kind of can't believe it. Donald Trump was talking about the Chinese auto manufacturing, blah, blah, blah. He says it's going to be a bloodbath. The mainstream media grabbed that word and ran and ran and ran with it. They're still running with it today, suggesting that Donald Trump says that if he doesn't win, there will be a bloodbath, as though he's calling for violence. This is what we're facing in America.
That's right. And it's called propaganda. I mean, they're using the same techniques you use for dog training. Bloodbath, bad, bad Trump, bad. Rub your nose in it. They're going to rub our nose in it. Our media are treating us like disobedient pets. And if the TikTok ban passes, they will have even more power to do so, because Rumble, which shows this video, will very likely be closed down. Tucker Carlson will probably disappear. X will probably have to be sold to some lesbian commune in Martha's Vineyard. These people don't believe in American freedom. That's why they tore down statues of our founders. That's why they encourage looting in the streets. The same people who encouraged the George Floyd riots, which killed at least a dozen Americans, the same people who thought it was fine for Hamas people to break into the grounds of the White House, but want to put Americans in prison for years for showing up and taking selfies on January 6th. We are really at one of those tipping points, like Germany in 1932 or Cambodia just before the Khmer Rouge took over. We are dealing with, first of all, just fantastically corrupt and competent people like Fannie Willis, and then vile fanatics like Mark Elias and Peter Stroke. And they're being enabled by squishes and weaklings like Mike Pence.
I got to ask you, on Twitter this morning, I said Trump should say, "We will slaughter Joe Biden in November," just to see if the media run with that and claim he's calling for political assassination. I think we should double down and use words like, you know, "I'm going to make mincemeat out of my opponents."
I've got one for you. Trump. I'm going to ethnically cleanse the electoral map on election night, so it's all red. I will purge every trace of blue from the map. We're going to commit a genocide of Democrat electors. I just love the idea
that we're going to slaughter them. We're going to slaughter the Dems in whatever. He should be thrown out. He should be baiting the mainstream media constantly so that they don't know which way to turn, because it's just funny. It's just funny.
It is funny. And the fact that Americans are subject to this is it's a very disturbing sign that people are so easily manipulated. But really pray that the Supreme Court case, which is before the court now, it's all about the total censorship of eminent doctors by our media during manufactured COVID panic. That was the dry run for totalitarian takeover of the entirety of the West. And we failed that test. Most of us rolled over. Most of us caved in. So
I'm afraid we're out of time. John, thank you very much. Folks, we'll be right back.
For more than 10 years, Patriot Mobile has been America's only Christian conservative wireless provider, standing behind their values and their exceptional service. They're an example of putting the cause ahead of profits, and it's why I am proud to partner with them. Starting today, Patriot Mobile is extending their Black Friday deal to the Every Friday Matters deal, and you can get a free smartphone when you switch today. Patriot Mobile offers dependable nationwide coverage, giving you access to all three major networks, which means you get the same coverage you've been accustomed to without funding the left. When you switch to Patriot Mobile, you're supporting free speech, religious freedom, the sanctity of life, our veterans and first responders, and more. Their 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching easy. Keep your number, keep your existing phone, or for a limited time, get a free smartphone from Patriot Mobile. Go to patriotmobile.com/Metaxas or call 972-PATRIOT and use promo code Friday76. Again, get a free smartphone with promo code Friday76. This is a limited time offer. Join me, make the switch today. patriotmobile.com/Metaxas or call 972-PATRIOT.
Legacy Precious Metals has a revolutionary new online platform that allows you to invest in real gold and silver online. In a few easy steps, you can open an account online, select your metals of choice, and choose to have them stored in a vault or shipped to your door. You have access to a dashboard where you can track your portfolio growth in real time, anytime. You'll see transparent pricing on each coin and bar. This puts you in complete control of your money. The platform is free to sign up for. Visit legacypminvestments.com and open your account and see this new investing platform for yourself. Gold hedges against inflation and against a volatile stock market. A true diversified portfolio isn't just more stocks and bonds, but different asset classes. This new platform allows you to make investments in gold and silver, no matter how small or large, with a few clicks. Visit legacypminvestments.com to get started. You're going to love this free new tool they've added, legacypminvestments.com. Legacypminvestments.com. Check it out. Hey there, folks. Welcome back. As promised, really special guest, James Lindsay. Dr. James Lindsay, welcome back.
Hey, Eric. Good to see you.
As I've already said in introducing you, we are so excited that you are prominently featured in the Letter to the American Church documentary, which is coming out February 8th. It is so well done. Now, I had nothing to do with that. The filmmakers, the people who decided to turn my book into a film, documentary film, have just done a spectacular job. And that has nothing to do with your interview or the interviews, because interviews can be great, but the documentary is like, you know, B minus. This documentary is just beautiful. But people have to see it to know that what I'm saying is true. But I want to talk to you right now about some of the things that you talk about in the film. Now, for people who are unfamiliar with you, how would you sum yourself up so people can get a handle on you?
I think the best summary of me, that's an extremely brief summary, is that I am the Rosetta Stone for woke. Somebody gave me that honor recently, called me that. But I do aspire to be that. I used to say that I wanted to be DARPA for the culture war. I wanted to be, you know, the people who build the fancy James Bond weapons so that we can go out and fight this cultural revolution. But I think it's really true that what I do primarily is read Marxist and woke literature, and I repeat myself, and decode it for people so they can see through the language games, through the mystifications that are contained within those texts, and understand what their agendas really are.
Now, you bring up a key point. Part of the reason, a large part of the reason for the success of wokeism is it is deliberately confusing. It right. aims to confuse so that most people living their busy lives, they don't have time to understand it. And they just go, okay, part of it sounds good. They're against racism, okay. In fact, that is the plan of the cultural Marxists and the critical theory people is to be brilliantly confusing so that people just don't have the ability to kind of get through the cloud of gnats. They just, you know, and so your job, Rosetta Stone, of course, enabled us to read Egyptian hieroglyphics, and we don't need to get into what the Rosetta Stone is, but your job is to help explain, like, okay, folks, this is what it is. So give us the nutshell version of that. And of course, in the film Letter to the American Church, you get into some specifics, but give us the nutshell version of, you know, when we talk about wokeism, when we talk about cultural Marxism, when we talk about critical theory, what is the connection between cultural Marxism and critical theory and what we now call, you know, woke?
Sure. And let me just say that when you say that it's written to be deliberately confusing, there are actually three ways that it's written to make sure that people don't understand what's going on, just to say it, just so people can hear it. One is to be deliberately confusing and obtuse. I was reading, for example, a little bit of Marx last night for some research that I'm doing, and I wanted to make a point about what I was reading, and I had to basically take two or three paragraphs completely apart and put them back together in a different order, then it's still very hard to summarize the point he's making because it's just deliberately confusing. But secondly, it's deliberately boring. It's written very much to put people to sleep. That's where it looks like, you know, corporate boilerplate all the time. So you're reading it, you're going to, you don't know what it's saying. It's like, oh yeah, it's all these same buzzwords and I'm getting tired. And so you just bail out. And so the document that your kid's school sends home or the university sends or the company sends that you're supposed to go to some training, it just knocks you out. And so you aren't able to maintain mental focus to understand the evil. And then third of all, in the case especially of queer theory, it is deliberately transgressive, which is a very polite way of saying you actually cannot read it in public. You can't tell people what's in the queer theory literature directly because it's well, the FCC won't let you.
Because
example.
It's so disgusting. It is so foul. It is so vulgar. They do that on purpose.
That's right.
So that it won't get read.
Right. So actually, it's nice that you're asking me to connect critical theory and cultural Marxism and woke, because that's actually why I was reading Marx last night. I was working on a section, and I hope might become a new book. We'll see what happens. And it is the short answer is what is woke and all of these things. This is Marxism. But the truth is, and I know this is a bad word on your show, is that Marxism evolved over time. We can think of it like a virus or a parasite.
I'm not against evolution. I'm just against the idea of evolution when evolution didn't happen. But what you're talking about, ideas evolving, we can
for
go
sure.
with that.
Yeah, I was teasing. But the
I know.
The ideas did evolve. If we think of it like a parasite or a virus, the host of Western civilization was not letting Marxism in. There were Marxist cells, there was Marxist activity, but if you went around waving a red flag down the street of New York City, spouting communist ideas, most people ignored you. Some people just straight up didn't like you. People would tell you to shut up or something more New York. And it was just not something that was penetrating into Western civilization. So after Marx's prediction that the industrial centers would go to socialism first, after that failed, you had a group of Marxists in the early 1900s that we usually call cultural Marxists. I think the right name for them is more accurately Western Marxists, who were trying to devise a different approach. How do you teach class consciousness to workers who don't want to learn it? For example, that's the legacy primarily of George Lukács, a Hungarian Marxist who realized that class consciousness has to be taught in stages. How do you infiltrate institutions? That's the legacy of Antonio Gramsci, who devised this idea that if we want to get inside of Western civilization, we're going to have to go see how Western civilization produces itself in its cultural institutions, infiltrate those and transform them from within. this turned out to still be a little bit too optimistic. So by the late 1930s, you had what was called the Institute for Social Research, which was at Goethe University in Frankfurt, Germany. It's more popularly known as the Frankfurt School, put together this concept called the critical theory. And that was devised and named by Max Horkheimer. And what Max Horkheimer actually said specifically was that the critical theory exists because you can't actually describe an ideal society on the terms of the existing society. We don't have the language. We don't have the vocabulary. We don't have the vision to even explain what a good socialist society would look like. So we don't know what to shoot at. But he said what we can do instead is criticize all of the aspects of the existing society that we wish to change. And so it becomes a relentless wave after wave after wave of criticism. And this was targeted at the culture industry, the movies, the music, and so on. And it still just didn't really penetrate very far into the American psyche, particularly. It did a little bit better in Europe. But what happened was in the 1960s, they realized that they were going after the wrong thing. They were going after things that Americans liked. So instead, Herbert Marcuse, who was in charge of the Frankfurt School at the time, said, I have an idea. Why don't we go into the outsiders? Let's go to the racial minorities, the sexual minorities, the feminists, the disgruntled, the criminals, and let's stoke them up. And the way we'll do it is we'll use students. We'll indoctrinate students, get a student rebellion going, very much like we had with Mao Zedong in China, which he was watching in the Cultural Revolution, and we'll unleash them to rile up the racial minorities, sexual minorities, and so on, the outsiders, the people on the margins. And woke gets born out of that. Woke is actually, let's use Marxist analysis, what they call critical consciousness, which is the relentless ability to see problems everywhere, even where they don't exist, and to denounce them so that you become a change agent, and to go out and do activism in solidarity with everybody else doing it, which explains why do you have all these socialists in New York or wherever throughout the U.S., Canada, and so on, supporting what's going on in Israel and Gaza, it's taking the side of the so-called Palestinians. And the reason is because the issue is never the issue for these people. The issue is just the revolution. So anything that tears down Western hegemony anywhere at all, ever, eventually tears down Western capitalism. So let's go.
Okay, so that's, even that crystal clear explanation is somewhat confusing. I just want to say that ultimately what we're talking about is a plan to destroy the world as we know it, a plan to destroy America and the founders' vision of America and self-government. And it's really diabolical. And it is planned over decades. And I remember I was in the middle of this at Yale in the 80s, being forced to read Herbert Marcuse and being surrounded by people who were woke before the term was born. And they were down with every protest group. It was the Yale workers or whatever, the cafeteria workers, what you were unionizing or whatever it was. It was already there. And as I say, I was in the middle of it, but of course you didn't know what was happening. I want to talk more about this when we come back, and I want to remind people, folks, I'm talking to Dr. James Lindsay. You can find him at newdiscourses.com. And he's prominently featured in the film Letter to the American Church, which is coming out very soon. We'll be right back. Our God-given freedoms are facing unrelenting attacks. It's a battle for truth, and the only way we win is if we stand together. Thankfully, Alliance Defending Freedom has been defending our rights for 30 years and winning. Right now, they're involved in two critical cases before the Supreme Court. They're suing the FDA for endangering the health and safety of women and girls. And in the second case, they're assisting the state of Idaho to defend its law protecting the lives of women and their unborn children against the Biden administration's attempt to override the law and force doctors to perform abortions. Think about it. They need your help. With your best gift, you courageously join ADF in fighting critical Supreme Court cases against government lawlessness and help defend our cherished freedoms. Call 855-385-3255.
0596 right now, or go to MetaxasTalk.com. Click on the ADF banner, MetaxasTalk.com. With your help, I've pledged to raise $35,000 by March 31st for ADF. Go to MetaxasTalk.com or call 855-385-0596 to make your best gift now.
Hey, this is Eric Metaxas. For years, I've told you about Nutramedics, a professional supplement brand trusted by doctors since 1993. Nutramedics offers a variety of health bundles. Whether you want to support your immune system, improve your sleep, promote joint comfort, or detoxification support, Nutramedics has a health bundle right for you. The best part about Nutramedics, every year they donate a minimum of 50% of their profits to Christian charities and missions. That's right, 50% of their profits. Nutramedics has a goal of surpassing $100 million in giving by 2030. Many of you take supplements already. Switch to Nutramedics. It's the highest quality, and they donate 50% of their profits. Get 15% off by using the code ERIC during checkout. Go to Nutramedics.com and search health bundles. Support your health while helping others in need. Go to Nutramedics. That's NutraMedix.com. Nutramedics.com. Use the code ERIC for 15% off. Again, Nutramedics, NutraMedix.com. Nutramedics.com. Use the code ERIC for 15% off.
Welcome back. Talking to Dr. James Lindsay, prominently featured in Letter to the American Church, the documentary film version of my book, which is coming out real soon. James, you know, what you just said early on in the last segment, it strikes me that when we're talking about wokeism, when we're talking about cultural Marxism, critical theory, we talked about how they are deliberately difficult and confusing. And to me, part of the way we can see this, and we've seen this over the decades, is this the rise of this elitist class, the rise of specialists, the rise of people who say, we're the experts, shut up and go about your little business. We've got it over here. We're smart enough to understand this stuff. You don't need to understand it. That is a contemptuous of the common man. That is contemptuous of common sense. They are contemptuous of common sense and simple logic and clarity. They are contemptuous of it. It's kind of Gnostic. It's like a cult. We have the information. We're smart. We're elite. We're powerful. You shut up and do what we tell you to do. At the end of the day, it reminds me of William F. Buckley when he said, I'd rather be governed by the first 300 names in the Boston phone book than by the faculty of Harvard College. Because the specialists at places like Harvard College, they don't have common sense. They've been living in a bubble where they don't need to have common sense. They can be anti-common sense. They can spout lunacy and everybody in the room just nods along like, yeah, we're going to go along with this. And so part of what we're dealing with is fundamentally anti the human person, fundamentally anti the little guy, ironically, because communists pretend to be for the little guy, but they're contemptuous of the little guy. They're contemptuous of the deplorable who voted for Donald Trump. They're contemptuous of the person who believes in America, who loves America, who goes to church. They have a profound contempt, and they have tried to create a world where they, their elitist, specialist, expert class rules everything. And so that's the way I connect this globalist movement to what you're talking about. That's connected.
Yeah, that's right. So it's a little sophisticated, honestly. They've unleashed the expert on two levels. They have these high and mighty experts in the colleges and in the institutions, the WHO or the UN or whatever it happens to be. And we all, you know, we just went through the COVID. We all know about having to listen to experts. And then at the same time, they've unleashed within these outsiders that Marcuse was naming, the racial minorities, sexual minorities, and so on, they've unleashed a different kind of expertise, which is what they call lived experience. You don't know what it's like to be black. You don't know what it's like to be gay. You don't know. We know. You don't know. But then the only interpretation of being black or being gay or being a woman or being whatever that's allowed is the one that comes out of the elite universities, the critical interpretation, the critical race theory interpretation of being a racial minority, the sexuality studies or queer theory interpretation of what it means to be gay. We see this even, you know, obviously the biggest example would be when Larry Elder ran for governor and he's the black face of white supremacy. All of a sudden, according to the Los Angeles Times, because he's a conservative, he didn't agree with their perspective on.
Well, that, I guess that's the point, is that Clarence Thomas, they're not interested in somebody like Dr. Carol Swain. They're only interested in their version. So Claudine Gay, she's on the team. She gets to speak for us. Clarence Thomas, Carol Swain, you don't get to speak for us because, you know, you're over there in the thinking the wrong things. Larry Elder is the classic example of that in politics.
And we have an army, you know, they could say we have an army of middle-aged white women with no children who can speak for all of you because they have the right consciousness, which is, again, this same elitism. And fundamentally, this is the same error that socialism always produces. It removes the decision making from the people closest to the decisions being made. It removes the balance of the variables that matter to the person making the decision. And so in a sense, to put it in kind of terms maybe relevant to Adam Smith in America, it destroys the invisible hand of the market and tries to seize the means of production of everything in society. And what happens, of course, is collapse and calamity. It just doesn't work. If you want to solve the problems you need in society, you need the people who are the closest to those problems, who have actually dealt with those problems, working on those problems. They've poisoned that idea in this concept of lived experience and said, well, it's only actually this idea that we've boiled up at Brandeis and Harvard and UCSD and whatever other elite universities, Stanford, this critical theory understanding of what it means to be who you are. And if we don't take that and you don't listen to the experts, then, you know, you're a racist, you're an anti-vaxxer, or you're a whatever the deplorable term happens to be. I mean, Mao Zedong called them counter-revolutionaries and bad elements. Anybody, conspiracy theorists and domestic violent extremists, you know, we've got different terms, but it's the same ideas.
It's so fascinating because we are living at a time, it's an exciting time, when many, many people are waking up to the fact that we've been in a war, we just haven't been fighting back. They have been fighting on one side and pushing and pushing and pushing. You know, part of the way all of these things have been able to happen, and you know this, James, is that most Americans over the last, let's say, 50 years, we haven't been taught civics. We haven't been taught the basics of why our system works, why a capitalism, virtue, having a republic along the lines of the founder, all of this stuff, why it makes sense, why it's beautiful and good and it's the best possible way forward. If you don't teach that, you create a vacuum. And these folks have been filling that vacuum and filling that vacuum. But we finally come to this kind of crisis point where people are waking up. We'll be right back. We're talking to Dr. James Lindsay. You can find him on Twitter at Conceptual James.
As you know, Mike Lindell has a passion to help you get the best sleep of your life. After he invented the world's best pillow, he created the famous Giza Dream Sheets. They're the best sheets you'll ever sleep on. The best night's sleep just got even better. For a limited time, you'll get a queen size set for $59.98, king size just $69.98, the lowest prices in history. Mike and the MyPillow employees continue to be canceled by big box stores and attacked by the media. They appreciate all of your great support during these times and want to thank you by giving you the best specials on all their MyPillow products. To get the best specials ever, go to MyPillow.com or call 800-978-3057. Use promo code ERIC. You get the famous Giza Dream Sheets, queen size $59.98, king size $69.98. You'll also get 60% off the original My Slippers. So call 800-978-3057 or go to MyPillow.com, promo code ERIC. Folks, go to MyPillow.com and use the promo code ERIC. Great bargains. MyPillow.com, promo code ERIC.
Welcome back, folks. Talking to Dr. James Lindsay, prominently featured in the documentary version of my book, Letter to the American Church, coming out very soon. Really exciting, James, to get clarity on this stuff. And I was just saying, we're living an exciting moment where I think things have gotten so bad that many people are looking around and saying, hey, wait a minute. We were kind of riding along. We were trusting the experts. And now we're getting some glimpses of where the experts are taking us. They've been lying to us. They are our enemies. They're the enemies, it turns out, of everything we believe in. And they have sold us this this line that they care about us. They care about the common man. But it's becoming increasingly obvious that they are the devout enemies of reality, of truth, of the American way in the best sense of the American way, of the God of the Bible. They are dedicated to tearing down all of those things that, you know, we thought we were roughly on the same side as they are. But again, to me, the good news is that thanks to folks like you, it's coming out. We're beginning to see who these people are and how they hate everything we love.
Yeah, well, we are in an exciting moment. I mean, it doesn't really matter where you look. This is a little technical and wonky, and we don't have to get into the details, but they had a massive bid to try to control the economy again that they put forth to the SEC recently, the New York Stock Exchange did, called natural asset companies. And we put pressure on that, and they withdrew that recently. So no longer do we have that direct threat. Of course, they'll retool it, but we're already aware that they're going to retool it and talking about preemptively being able to block that out. We look at the meeting in Davos for the World Economic Forum this year, and you have Javier Milei from Argentina, you have Kevin Roberts from Heritage going on and blasting the World Economic Forum to their faces, saying, I think Javier Milei's phrase was, you aren't the solution, you are the problem, saying that directly from main stage to their faces. So things are unraveling. And of course, the theme of Davos this year is rebuilding trust, as if they can at this point. So yeah, this is an exciting moment. Parents are awake and taking it to the schools. People are filing lawsuits. We're starting to understand. We took down the two lawsuits that had college admissions biased by DEI, which were Grutter versus Bollinger and Bakke versus Board of Regents of California in the Harvard and UNC cases that won last year. And now we have in our sights Griggs versus Duke Power, which establishes the ability to do DEI in the workplace, this entire disparate impact environment that for almost 50 years, our corporations have been working under the fear of being sued for frivolous discrimination lawsuits if they don't bend the knee to what has become the DEI apparatus. That's in the crosshairs now. We're making major progress, and it's a very exciting time.
Well, somebody once said, you know, the problem with socialism is eventually you run out of other people's money. We are at that point. The problem with cultural Marxism, the problem with DEI, the problem with all of this stuff is eventually you bump up against this thing called reality. So when a Boeing jet, when a door flies out of a Boeing jet, it is a miracle people didn't die and get sucked out into the sky to plummet to their deaths 3 miles below. That happens. And so suddenly people say, oh, I see what DEI is bringing us. DEI is bringing us workers who don't deserve to have those jobs, but they're in those jobs because they fit some intersectional quota. They got the job. They did a crappy job. And my family will die or could die as a result of that. So right now, I think the people at United, the people at Delta, all these people are scared to death. The people at Boeing, because they realize, oh, yeah, we're onto you now. We don't want to die in the friendly skies. And so reality asserts itself. It's an extraordinary thing. And it sort of proves that the DEI model, that all these models don't work. And we're living to see it. What happened with Claudine Gay, another classic example of, you know, the putting somebody in power who is profoundly unethical. And I think a lot of people think, you know, I don't know what I thought about Harvard, but I thought that they at least had a kind of an honor code, like you don't lie on your papers. Like this is basic. It's kind of like in, you know, in medical literature or in science, like you actually have to do the work. It's kind of basic. Suddenly that's been revealed. So it's like reality is asserting itself. I think of it as playing against the house. You'll always lose. Reality always wins. God invented reality. And so in a sense, things have gotten crazy enough that we're seeing some of this bad fruit, and people are finally reacting and saying, okay, I got to do something. I don't want to die, you know, when I'm flying across the country to visit grandma. I think we need to, you know, look at this stuff again. DEI is not what it was cracked up to be.
Yeah, this is actually why I think this film is so important and your book is so important, because the church plays a special role and it needs to stand up too. What I frequently say is that the truth can't advocate for itself, but it will eventually assert itself. This is the thing that I've said a lot of times now. And that's where we are. We're starting to see reality assert itself. And as you said, it always wins. There is no beating reality. This is really the story that you see again and again and again and again, especially through the Old Testament and the Bible. You know, people go awry and then a prophet comes and tries to tell them the truth. And it, only when they finally listen and humble themselves and do the right thing, does stuff start to get back on track. And the church has been caught up in this too. Of course, communists would have infiltrated the churches. And of course, it's going to be necessary for the church to wake up and stand up and push back. I mean, there's that year. It's weird talking to you about this, given Bonhoeffer and everything, but there is that famous story, maybe it's real, maybe it's apocryphal, of the train rolling up next to a church on Sunday morning in Nazi Germany filled with Jews banging on the boxcar from the inside, and they're singing away in church, and they hear the crying out for help and the banging on the doors. And so what did the people in the good German church do? Well, they sang louder. And
I think that's probably apocryphal, but it doesn't matter. It gives us the idea
that
there are people who have to bury their head in the sand because they can't bear to see what is happening. And when you have a religious excuse to do that, talk about the devil. I mean, what an evil thing. And so, yes, right now there are many people in churches across America waking up and saying our church has gone woke, or our church is not fighting against wokeism, and I don't want to be a part of something that is moral equivalent to the German churches that ignored Jews being sent to their horrible deaths in Treblinka and Auschwitz and these other places. We'll be exactly right back talking to Dr. James Lindsay, featured prominently in the documentary film Letter to the American Church, coming out very soon. Welcome back. Talking to Dr. James Lindsay. You can find him at newdiscourses.com. And you've been an academic for how long? What is your biography there?
Well, I think they kicked me out, but I started a PhD in 2003 and finished it in 2010. So whatever it counts as being an academic, whenever that line was crossed, at least 14, 15 years.
But the reason I bring it up is that you know that world. You know that world infinitely better than I do, because I ended my academic career in 1984. And it's kind of a funny thing, really, that, you know, the world, as crazy as it was in the 80s, it's gotten crazier and crazier and crazier, to the point where you have this elite expert class in the academy that is spouting genuine nonsense, if there can be such a thing, absolute lunacy. And if you say anything against it, you'll lose your job. That is why Claudine Gay kept her job as long as she did, and why she's still a full professor at Harvard, which is now officially the worst university in the United States of America. It used to be the best. It is now the worst. It has no standards. The emperor has new clothes. And, you know, folks like you are at the forefront, James, of pointing this out, that the emperor has no clothes. All along, we've been going along and along and along, and more people are looking around thinking, do you see what I see? Do you see what I see? Yeah, the emperor has no clothes. Anybody dare to say it? All kinds of people are now daring to say it. And we're in a new world. I mean, we're seeing things. I think that that Claudine Gay, you know, is just the tip of the iceberg. I think we're going to see things that most of us couldn't have dreamt of, because it's all coming down.
Yeah, I think that's right. She really is, in a sense. I think she's basically the snowflake at the tip of the iceberg, never mind all that's under the water. What I think we're going to see coming is, obviously her big scandal is this plagiarism scandal. I think we're going to see that plagiarism is endemic in academia, particularly in these fields associated to DEI, which is where she was doing her academic work. We're going to see it. And aside from that, which has been copied, it's starting to come to the fore. What I tried to expose several years ago with the grievance studies affair, where we wrote fake academic articles to show how bogus and simplistic and hilarious and low quality academic work in those fields is. Well, that's coming out, too, because people are starting after Claudine Gay to start pulling dissertations. There was some, you know, argument about that with Jill Biden's dissertation a couple of years ago when she asserted that she's a doctor, and some people read it and it seems to be pretty low quality work. But I think what we're going to see is that the work is by it. The default is that the work is extremely low quality. I mean, stuff that shouldn't get you out of a you know, junior or senior level class, much less get you a PhD and a top job at Harvard. So I think we're about to see, like you said, that the veil is being pulled back on academia as extraordinarily fraudulent. The church is unfortunately going to see that much of the work that's been taking place in the seminaries, in the divinity schools, is similarly fraudulent. And it's high time, honestly. We've been basing our society off of this. We should be able to base our society off of the best available knowledge. And it's been incorrectly certified, corrupt certification for perhaps decades. And it's time to start cleaning house.
Well, again, this is, you know, a market correction, folks. This is you talk about long overdue. You talk about a bubble getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And when's it going to burst? Get out of the way, because it's going to burst. It's bursting. They are bursting. The bubbles are bursting. And everywhere we look, we're seeing this. And the point of Letter to the American Church, the book and the documentary, is to say the church, if you dare to call yourself some kind of Christian, you ought to be at the forefront of this. If you are not at the forefront of this, if your church is not at the forefront of this, you are the moral equivalent of those in the German churches that said, you know what, that's not our business. We're just going to keep our heads down. Oh, they may be killing Jews. That's none of our business. It is your business. God considers it your business. And we're living in a holy moment. We're out of time. Dr. James Lindsay, thank you for being my guest.
Yeah, it's always my pleasure.
3-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.